Good evening and welcome to the Safilo Group's third quarter and nine-month 2017 trading update. For your information, this conference is being recorded. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating economic and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer, Gerd Graesler, Chief Financial Officer, Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Ms. Luisa Delgado, Chief Executive Officer. Ms. Delgado, you may begin.
Thank you, Rhonda. Good evening and thank you to all for attending today's call on Safilo's trading update for quarter three and the first 9 months of 2017. I'd like to say up front that our quarter three results were achieved in the context of fully restored and normalized operations and delivery performance of our Padova Global Distribution Center. Please remember in that context that our first 9 months results were affected on the top and bottom line by the delivery issues we faced at the beginning of the year with the go-live of the order-to-cash IT system in the global DC. These impacted our quarter one sales order fulfillment and resulted in the late deliveries of our spring-summer collections to May and June. As I commented in August, those in turn had a knock-on effect for the order intake of both quarter two and quarter three, in particular in Western Europe. Before moving to the underlying drivers of our business performance, I also remind you that all our quarters this year are impacted by the exit of the Gucci license in terms of sales and profit, and by the inclusion of the sales and profit from the strategic product partnership agreement with Kering Eyewear, plus the accounting effect of the Kering compensation payments for the early termination of the license. So on to our core underlying business. What we saw in quarter three was overall a continuation of what we achieved in quarter two, although with different drivers by region. Quarter three net sales of our going forward brand portfolio, which excludes the Gucci business from both years, grew by 1.3% in total and by 1.6% at the wholesale level at constant exchange rates, driven by the positive contribution of our own core brands, that grew across all the brands and nicely in all the regions, and by the strong progress we achieved in the period in the emerging markets, namely in India, Middle East and Africa, in Central and Eastern Europe, in Latin America, and also in Asia, where we are now starting to grow both in China and in APAC on the back of the deep-reaching strategic reorientation that we have been undertaking during the last years, after resetting the foundations of the business model 3 years ago, as you will remember. As far as our licensed brand portfolio is concerned, we have had a satisfactory quarter with two main exceptions, Dior and Marc Jacobs. Their performance affected all developed regions and in particular Western Europe. We had expected some softness from both of these brands for this year. On Dior, because of the very tough comps last year, as the brand enjoyed phenomenal growth for three quarters in a row in 2016, and on Marc Jacobs, because of the brand architecture reorganization and the elimination by the fashion house of the brand's contemporary Marc by Marc line, still to be counterbalanced by the growth of the now comprehensive single brand Marc Jacobs collections. The Western Europe performance was further impacted by a still soft order intake, carrying forward the effect of the delivery issues from the first half year as expected. On the other hand, in North America, our business stabilized in the quarter after the decline that we suffered in the second quarter. We achieved better sales momentum, both in the wholesale business, flattish compared to quarter three 2016, as well as in the retail business, where comp sales improved versus the previous quarters of the year. This was accomplished despite a business environment which remains challenging, in particular in department stores, and the hurricanes hitting some regions in September. I would also like to highlight the progress of our optical strategy, that, as you recall, is aimed at accelerating the growth of our prescription frames business within our portfolio. Today, that business represents about one-third of our total business. In the third quarter, we achieved a strong progress of our prescription frames business, growing double-digit and fed by all our own core brands and core licenses. All in all, our group's net sales totaled €245.1 million in quarter three, recording an all-in decline of 12.3% at constant exchange rates and of 14.9% at current exchange rates as Forex turned to be a headwind. This took our first 9 months total net sales to €797.7 million, realigning the total performance at current and constant exchange rates to a 15% decline. In the third quarter, our adjusted EBITDA reached €15.4 million, down 3.7% compared to the same period of last year, taking the adjusted EBITDA of the first 9 months to €43.2 million, down 44.2% over the same period of last year. Our third quarter adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 6.3% of sales, basically flat compared to the previous year when excluding some negative Forex impact at the operating level. The group net debt at the end of September increased to €135.9 million compared to €112.7 million at the end of June due to the economic performance of the period and some absorption from working capital. We will come back on these items later on. I now leave the word to Gert for the additional details on our results and will come back thereafter for some additional inputs before we take your questions as usual. Gert?
Thank you, Louisa. To recap our total reported business performance by geographical area at constant exchange rates, our Q3 total sales declined by 5.9% in Europe, by 13.7% in North America, with wholesale down 14.5% and retail 9.3%. Asia Pacific dropped 43.7%, reminding you in this very case how the region was overexposed to the Gucci license, while the rest of the world in the quarter, representing 10% of our total business, grew 8%. I won't read out the 9-month geographical performance as you have all the numbers available. As a reminder, the reported performance is the result of the growth of our going forward brands that we will discuss in a moment in the next slide, and of the net decline of the Gucci business behind the end of the license in December 2016 and its replacements with the SPPA revenues this year. On this specific front, we continue to deliver what we planned, with the sales of the strategic product partnership agreement recovering more or less one-third of the sales recorded last year with the Gucci license. Moving to the sales performance of our going forward brands, overall the portfolio grew in the third quarter by 1.3% at constant exchange rate and 1.6% excluding the retail business. This took the sales performance of our going forward brands in the first 9 months to a decline of 4% or 3.5% when just considering the core wholesale business. I remind you that Q1 going forward sales had dropped 14.5% at the wholesale level due to the IT systems issues previously mentioned. Back to the third quarter, and starting from our two main regions, Europe and North America, Europe declined in the 3 months to September by 4.2% at constant exchange rates. On one side, we had the positive performance of Central and Eastern Europe, of our own core brands, and of most of the licensed brands. On the other, as already highlighted and explained by Louisa, Dior and Marc Jacobs lagged behind, and overall order taking did remain soft following the delivery issues of half year one. On a positive note, we are pleased about the good sales momentum of our own core brands, and in particular the progress recorded with Carrera, both in prescription and sunglasses. In Europe, we also saw a solid progress of Smith Sport business, thanks to a strong snow product lineup, indeed driving up sales and helping the brand equity in store. Our aim is to now consolidate and continue these positive trends over the coming quarters. In Q3, the North America wholesale business recovered compared to the performance we recovered in the second quarter, up 0.4% at constant exchange rates. an encouraging sign for our adjusted business initiatives, helping us to regain some speed in our strategic independent retail optical channel. Reducing the gap emerged and explained in the previous quarters. Brand-wise, drivers in North America were very similar to the ones we explained for Europe, with Encore brands leading, indeed strong consistency by Smith this year, but also a good number of our core licensed brands, including Kate Spade, Tommy Hilfiger, and Hugo Boss, growing nicely. Overall, the North American market environment remains challenging, in particular within higher-end department stores. As far as our 103 Solstice stores are concerned, comp sales were down 4.4% in the quarter, a significantly milder result compared to the first part of the year, especially if we consider the severe weather conditions that hit several southern states in September, home to about a quarter of our total store footprint. In Asia, our going forward brand portfolio returned to growth after many quarters and the now completed corporate and commercial reorganization of the region. The 9.3% increase we reported at constant exchange rates was broad-based across the different relevant markets we manage directly or through distribution partnerships. In the quarter, we made significant progress in China and by brand with Polaroid and with core licenses like Jimmy Choo, Tommy Hilfiger, Kate Spade, and Givenchy. The rest of the world remained very strong, up 28.2% in Q3, following the 17.3% growth posted in Q2. As you know, this is driven by our IMEA countries, namely India, Middle East, and African countries, as well as Latin America, where we keep expanding our commercial footprint, as you have been reading in the last months. These markets represent an important growth opportunity for us now and going forward, and important reasons for which we continue investing there for the long term. India is a clear example of our strong focus and commitment in the region, where the country becoming our biggest market now in the IMEA cluster. In the quarter, our Encore brands were strong as much as we saw a strong performance by our licensed brands. Moving on to our industrial and operating performance. In the third quarter, gross profit margin moved from 58.8% of net sales to 49.1%, with the combined Gucci Kering SPPA related impacts explaining roughly over half of the total 970 basis points dilution. Just to remind you on this dynamic, this reflects the loss of a sizable high gross margin business as the Gucci license was, and the entrance of the supply and product partnership agreement, which is dilutive at the gross margin level while generally accretive at the operating level. In the quarter, in addition, we had some 100 basis points negative impact from the retail performance in the mix of the overall business and from foreign exchange put together, while the rest was mainly explained by brand mix effects, as occurred also in the previous quarter due to, on one side, the softness of Dior, on the other, the growth of some of our own core brands, with Smith in particular having a lower average gross margin, which is quite typical of sport products. The business mix dynamics just described, and in particular the softer performance of some of the key fashion luxury license brands also caused a somewhat suboptimal absorption of fixed costs in our Italian factories, which contributed to this gross margin reduction. In the first 9 months, our gross margin was standing at 51.1% of sales compared to 60.1% in the same period of last year. At the operating margin level, in the third quarter, we recovered the gap accumulated at the gross profit level. We achieved an adjusted EBITDA of $15.4 million compared to $19.1 million in the same quarter of last year. The margin equaled 6.3% of net sales compared to 6.6% in the same quarter of 2016. As indicated by Luisa, margin-wise, we were in line with last year when excluding the small dilution from Forex that we had at this level. As occurred up to the first half and in line with our expectations and indications at the operating level, the margin we earned with the SPPA business, coupled with the accounting of the Kering compensation, which equals 10.8 million euros in the quarter and 32.3 million euros in the first 9 months, we fully covered the lost earnings of the Gucci license. So at the EBITDA level, these two opposite effects continue to offset each other. The rest of the recovery was explained by the going forward wholesale business performance, achieved thanks to the profit protection actions we took in terms of cost savings and continued progress on our overheads productivity plan. In the first 9 months, the adjusted EBITDA equaled $43.2 million, down from $77.4 million in the 9 months of 2016, while the margin stood at 5.4% of net sales compared to 8.2% in the 9 months last year. The adjusted EBITDA margin of the wholesale business equaled 6.6% of revenues compared to 8.9% in the same period of 2016. As a reminder, the dilution in the 9 months was of course born from the very poor Q1 sales performance and the resulting operating deleverage that we suffered in that period. Finally, on a quarterly basis, we report our net debt, which at the end of September stood at 135.9 million euros, compared to 112.7 million at the end of June and 111.5 million at the end of September last year. In this respect, let me say that in the period our cash flow continued to reflect the reduction of trade payables, mainly as a consequence of the exit of the Gucci license and the related payables, and more generally of our pursued cost discipline. On the inventory front, our stock remained pretty much where it was in the same period of last year and slightly higher than at the end of December, mainly due to the still subdued sales performance of our going forward brand portfolio. I hand it back over to Luisa for her further considerations.
Thank you, Gert. As usual, I would like to conclude our presentation by discussing selected areas of progress on our strategic choices that underlie the corporate transformation program that we are leading. Our go-to-market actions to ensure the high quality of our sales distribution are one, our interventions in balancing our portfolio are the other, and our continuous focus on innovation are the three key pillars that I'd like to discuss today. They have, of course, short as well as long-term impact. And I start from our brand portfolio and the recent announcement of the new licensing agreement with Rebecca Minkoff to the end of 2024. This is actually a telling further addition to our brand portfolio. Rebecca Minkoff is the largest global brand led by a millennial female designer and one of the fastest growing in the contemporary segment. The brand has a unique relevance among tech and fashion-forward, modern and digital native female millennials. And as such, it offers to us an innovative business and learning opportunity that we intend to use to create, namely, a 360 digital eyewear experience that leverages all our assets, including our Salt Lake City-based RX Lab and our New York City-based Global Design Studio. The first sunglass collection will be launched in the fourth quarter of 2018 and followed by an optical collection in January 2019. Continuing on the brand portfolio, I want to highlight the very strong reception that our new Moschino license is receiving, and this is an addition to our fashion luxury segment, as well as the Love Moschino, which is a contemporary segment brand, and both have been shown at the latest Milan fashion shows and during our buying days that now are underway. The brands will be in market as of next January. The other new license that also further strengthens our fashion luxury segment is Rag & Bone. It will also be in market as of January 2018 and redefines fashion luxury with a new concept of luxury, also millennial orientated. And while it was originally intended mainly for the US and the UK, we are seeing excellent traction beyond those geographies as we start showing the collection to our customers. As you can see from these brands that I have just mentioned, we continue to progress on our strategy of diversifying fast our brand portfolio. We do this guided by the five segments that we have chosen to play in per our 2020 strategic plan, and focus on offering in every one of these segments a breadth of diverse brands, mixing more traditional prestigious brands with new emerging hot and trend-setting brands, as well as a mix of our own core brands and licensed brands, thereby continuing to fully leverage our industry-leading product design, engineering, manufacturing, and distribution capabilities. You can expect us to continue on this path also forward. Getting back to our key focus on innovation, We are pleased and very excited by the early October market launch of our first smart glasses, our brain-sensing eyewear called Smith Lowdown Focus, powered by Muse and now available for sale on smithoptics.com. With Smith Lowdown Focus, we offer a unique experience. This is the first ever application of brain-sensing technology in eyewear, offering to a user focused coaching to enhance cognitive performance. With these smart glasses, we target consumers in market segments such as athletics, athleisure, mindfulness, and meditation, who will be able to combine wearing stylish shades with technology-enabled refocus and concentration exercises at any time and any place. We expect that training for performance and concentration, anywhere, at any time, through easy-to-wear stylish eyewear, addresses a real consumer need and actually adds yet another usage dimension for eyewear, as you know, is already at the cross-section of vision correction, sports, fashion, design, beauty, and lifestyle. The smart glasses can be purchased online now in North America, and in other countries of the world, including the UK, as of 2018 January. Finally then, as far as our go-to-market efforts are concerned and our strategy of leading the industry with high-quality standards of distribution, widest worldwide coverage and transparent commercial strategy and terms, I'd like to add on to what we discussed back in August and tell you that we have continued to expand our worldwide distribution coverage. On the one side, directly via own offices and local presence, and on the other side, indirectly by continuing to strengthen our highly controlled and certified global partner network. The objective with both of them are namely to fuel the emerging markets' growth in a profitable and sustainable way. In terms of direct coverage, we now are directly present in 40 countries. The latest additions are Belarus and Kazakhstan that are of particular interest in the context of our Central and Eastern Europe unit. That's a high-growth region that comprises Russia, Turkey, and the Central European countries, where we want and are investing to further accelerate growth through distribution expansion and local brand building. All of you know the strength, for example, of Polaroid in Russia and the very fast build-up of Turkey that we opened about a year and a half, 2 ago. On the expansion of our global partner network of worldwide distributors, also there we continued and are today dedicating 42 markets with global partners. The latest two are Chile and Colombia that reinforce our fast development plan and growth in Latin America. And I want to make a special mention on Colombia, which is a big country with an important optical tradition, high engagement in fashion and design, appreciation for product quality, and our assessment indicates that it is now ready for locally relevant brand development across all segments, particularly Polaroid and Carrera, and we're delighted to partner with somebody of the capabilities that ChronoTime, our new partner, has. Global partner market expansion will continue also forward for what I would expect to be half a dozen or so further markets to come. To close, we always like to close stressing how product design leadership is at the heart of what we are and what we do. We are thus pleased to see that our product collections continue to enjoy excellent market reception, whether that's editorially, by customers, or by our end users. Our fall-winter 17 collections are showcased here. The spring-summer 18 ones are now being shown to our customers as we speak. Particularly pleasing is to see the momentum taking shape on our own core brands, now among our leading collections. And as discussed in August, we continue to progress with our digital strategy, embracing innovative and integrated social, PR, media, and in-store campaigns to fuel and establish our own omni-channel growth. I hereby conclude our prepared remarks, and we now open the floor for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. And we'll take our first question from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I would like to have some more color on the performance of Going Forward Brands. If you, in particular, could give us some numbers, share some numbers on the own core brands performance and the license performance. And how do you see the development going into Q4? You were mentioning some weakness in Dior and some strength in your own core brands.
Okay, I think let me start. In terms of own core brands performance, first of all five of them have been growing in the quarter, and you know, at different speeds, let me say, but the growth has been significant across all of them, and we are talking here about high single digits growth versus year ago of Encore brands. Then, really, with the exception of Dior and Marc Jacobs that Luisa mentioned and that have some very specific reasons, actually all of the other licensed brands in the portfolio have been growing in the quarter. And, you know, if just for the sake of the exercise we exclude Dior and Marc Jacobs, we would have had, again, a high single-digit performance of the rest of the portfolio. And we talked about optical frames, which is also key, where we actually recorded a double-digit growth.
Okay. And do you see the trend continuing into Q4?
Let me give you perspective. I would not expect a huge change on the trend on Dior, even though quarter four last year was a bit less challenging as a base than quarter one to three. But still, you know, October at least last year was still relatively strong as a base. On Marc Jacobs, also there on quarter four, we don't see a dramatic change. Eventually the trend will soften a bit, but it will still need to be cycled through until we conclude the integration, which is always delicate, of two brands. On the own core brands instead, we see the trend, positive trend, probably reinforcing, if anything. Our collections are extremely strong. The energy in the company is extremely strong around own core brands. The reception of customers is very strong, as we can see. And, of course, Safilo is starting to ramp up. The new Safilo is starting to ramp up. So we feel very confident on our own core brands for quarter four and well beyond.
Okay. Thank you. I have a follow-up on the portfolio, in particular on Celine. How are you managing the phase-out of Celine? Do you see any issue, both in terms of profitability and in terms of, say, inventory levels?
No, we are managing it in an extremely controlled way, as you know, one would expect of a respected company like Safilo, so managing very carefully the inventory, of course, production that has stopped, the inventory, the final sales, and have budgeted for it and are planning for it and are very much seeing this as a effective transition that we manage carefully.
Okay, and last question is on the gross margin. Particularly, I was looking. Well, clearly, you will have say an easier comparison considering last quarter of 2016. I wonder if the current level of gross margin is something that you could consider as sustainable. So the 51, basically you are at 51 around in the 9 months, is something that is sustainable also for the full year.
Well, let me say on Q4, I mean, I think your statement initially is correct. So the base of last year was quite depressed with all the exit effects that we had of the Gucci license. So I expect the fourth quarter gross margin to show a good improvement compared to the same quarter of last year. On the one hand, you know, the sales mix should be a little bit better because some of this dilution that we talked about, you know, maybe hitting a bit of a lower base period. And I think we will see a smaller impact from obsolescence costs, which were quite high in Q4 of last year. So how much we will improve, what margin we will at the end achieve in the period, I think will depend on how much we will grow the going forward portfolio in the period. And we will then also need to see how the foreign exchange will develop. We had about 50-60 basis points dilution in Q3. I think we're probably entering into a weaker dollar environment going forward. So I can't tell you exactly what it will be for the full year, but let me say it will be better than Q4 last year.
Okay, and just last point. Stupid question, but in your opinion, what would have been, let's say, a really unaffected performance of your going forward brand portfolio if you had excluded, so if you had not had the issues at the distribution center? How should we 2017 in terms of going forward performance?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's, let me say, it's not a stupid question, it's a difficult question to answer. Obviously, it requires a lot of hypotheses as to what would have happened if we hadn't had those issues and we would have had a stronger order portfolio in the second quarter, let me say. So I think it's a tough one to answer, but I think as we said in the past, I think that from a point of view of the ingredients this year of being ready to get to you know, a constant Forex going forward portfolio performance of north of mid-single digits, I think we have the ingredients in place. I think that if we look at the third quarters, I would say there's a number of positives and there's a few negatives. I think the positives are we are growing again, which is always good. growing Encore brands, we're growing emerging markets, we're out of the trough in Asia, we're growing optical, we are neutralizing the solstice impact, etc. But then, of course, on the other hand, we've had quite a few you know, negative impacts. I mean, one is the impacts we mentioned on the gross margin. One is, you know, still in Western Europe, we are recovering. We are in the process of recovering where we were hardest hit. We have had the situation of Dior and Marc Jacobs, without which, you know, we would have been at a sort of mid-single and above type of performance. So I think the ingredients were there to do that. In a way, it's a bit of a special year, and nobody will ever be accurately to answer your question. But I think that the second half, the Q4, and then the progress into first quarter of next year will give us the answer at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was asking. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take a question from Domenico Ghilotti of Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, another question on the distribution. In particular, I'm trying to understand if the current distribution is in line with your expectations, with your ideal setup. So you think that for example, in China and Asia, you have completed the cleanup and the restructuring? Because we have seen your competitors, for example, going very hard in cleaning up distribution, even in China, basically reducing a lot the wholesale distribution in order to retain the control. And this is a risk for you. Do you see the control on distribution in this market as enough and sustainable?
Well, I dare say we were first 3 years ago to make all these interventions and suffered alone because it wasn't popular yet to do it at the time. 3 years later, we absolutely can confirm to you that in China, after closing down, remember we closed down probably 40% of our Asia channels business and sales. Today, we have spent the past years in building up quality, control, capability, partnership with customers, clarity of our trade terms, of distribution, merchandising, and have built a sales team that can actually lead and pull that through, and are now ready to invest into brand building, digital, and expanding our portfolio. We did this over the past 3 years while being overexposed on Gucci, which is what you can see today, are of course then the all-in figures. And today, indeed, we're ready to build China, and the first figures are starting to show that. And the figures we are showing are not wild sales. They are super controlled sales, precisely building on what we did over the past 3 years, that perhaps others are starting to do today as well.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, so how many distributors are you using, more or less, in China, if you had to, say, to
we are not cut? Using. We are not using distributors in China. We sell ourselves in China.
Also in tier 2 and tier 3 cities?
And have, yes, and have okay. Now started to sign very selectively two or three with whom we have relationships, people know them, we have hired within the industry and partnering with other reputed global companies. And our intent is not to have dozens or hundreds of them, but we are going ourselves with a very, very selected, very, very tiny number of people with whom we do more than just selling and them reselling. That is not our strategy in China. We also go digital in China. And as you can imagine, distributing Dior and other selective brands require the utmost control of quality. And that's what we have put in place painstakingly over the past 3-4 years. And remember, we have been declining, you know, in a row as many quarters as probably most of us can remember. So that was the intent of what we did. It wasn't that we were not able to sell. It's that we said we couldn't sell and therefore needed to close and focus and build it up one by one.
Okay. I have a question on Polaroid. Can you update me on the success in building brand awareness in several key areas for the brand, for Polaroid? Are you happy with the performance? Do you see the need to invest more? In which areas?
We are reasonably happy with the performance, but we would like to grow much more. We want to grow more, and we'll be investing more because, of course, also Polaroid suffered from the first half delivery, etc. But we believe we have the ingredients in our hand now that our supply chain has been integrated, our product quality is fully under control and upgraded, our design is in-house made from our design studio in Milan. So we have all the ingredients. It's working extremely well across a series of countries. We want to go broader, and yes, we plan to continue to increase our investments in Polaroid, but also on Carrera, because we see the two brands with very similar maturity and opportunity to grow, one more broadly, and it's going well, particularly in emerging markets and in the US for Polaroid, and on Carrera, most broadly across most of our regions for quarter three, as we said, in double-digit levels for Carrera. So, pleased but never satisfied and wanting to invest more because we know that what we have works. And it's a question of going broad, fast, with the very locally relevant brand building programs. That's what we now are all about. Think about key markets like Russia, like Italy, like Spain, like the US, but also well beyond into Brazil, for example, that's doing very well on Polaroid. Polaroid, the story is that when you get into a market, you do it right, you distribute right, you merchandise right, and the collection is right, as it is now, it grows. So we do feel confident on Polaroid.
Very last question. I had a question on the volumes from PPA. So are they in line with your initial expectation?
100% so.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Again, as a reminder, to ask a question, it's *1 on your telephone keypad. And we'll pause once again to allow everyone to signal. If there are no further questions at this time, I'll turn the call back over to the speakers for any additional or concluding remarks.
We want to thank you for your interest and wish you a good evening. Thank you very much.